This guy has a connection to The Last Dance, the series that everybody is watching on ESPN. He's the president of the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, Gary Stokin, kind enough to join us now on the Truist Newsmaker line. Gary, good morning. Staying safe, I hope.
Hey, guys. Yeah, we're safe and healthy. I hope you and your families are as well.
I don't want to get to the end of the story at the very beginning, but what do you think you'd be doing today? What would be your title if this whole Michael Jordan thing went your way?
Oh, boy. I may be retired by now.
Yeah, you're damn right you might have been. I did the math. You might have been.
I know what you wouldn't be doing, talking to us.
Hey, yeah, no, I love talking to you guys. You guys are the best.
All right, so now let's go back to the beginning. Once upon a time, there was a guy named Gary Stokin who worked for what shoe company?
Yeah, I was with Adidas. I had left NC State as a coach when Jimmy Valvano came in, wanted me to stay at State. Norm Sloan, my coach, who I played for at NC State and coached there, went to Florida. And they both wanted me to stay in coaching. And I was 24, decided I'd seen some of the seamier sides of recruiting. And this is 40 years ago, and it's still going on now. But I got a job with Adidas to open up the Southeast office and move to Atlanta. And signed Herschel Walker to Adidas contract when he came out, went to the USFL. Herschel was wearing Adidas when he was playing at Georgia. And if you read Shoe Dogs, which is a great read, Phil Knight's book, he says in there, well, we were in college football and we signed Georgia and had Herschel Walker wearing Adidas, which is absolutely false. Herschel wore Adidas. I mean, wear Nike. He didn't wear Nike for Phil Knight. He wore Adidas. But anyway, signed Herschel, signed Mike Krzyzewski when he came from Army and went to Duke in 1980, and had Michael Jordan wearing Adidas, you know, in practice at Carolina because Dean Smith was getting paid $250,000 from Converse and wouldn't let him wear them in the games. And anyway, so, yeah, I was with Adidas in 1980 through 87.
So Michael Jordan in the documentary says he was a huge Adidas guy. What happens? How does he get away? Reader's Digest version.
Well, it's funny watching, you know, I guess Patrick Ewing said it best. You know, he lived this thing, so he doesn't want to rehash it. So he doesn't want to watch it. I'm watching it because I love Michael. He's a good guy and a friend. And but it's killing me because, you know, when they go back to the college, when he was in college, and you look on his dorm walls, he's got all these Adidas posters up there that I gave him. In the U.S. Olympic trials, I gave him the first $100 pair of shoes, leather basketball shoes, in the United States called the Forums. And he wore those at the Olympic trials, wore Adidas all in practice at Carolina. And in the book called Swoosh, Rob Strausser's book, Rob is the guy at Nike that came up with the Air Jordan idea. In the book, Michael goes to Nike, didn't want to go. His mom had to coerce him into going out there with David Falk and his dad. He said, I wanted to wear Adidas. Well, in the book, after the Nike meeting in Beaverton, Oregon, you know, Air Jordan, they do the whole presentation. Well, Michael comes out, and David Falk says, we're signing with Nike. This is incredible. And Michael's dad says, yeah, Nike's the one we're going with. And Michael, in the book, actually says, no, I want to sign with Adidas. So Michael comes back, and in Franklin Street in Chapel Hill, there's a stone wall on a North Carolina campus. Michael and I sat there drinking a Coca-Cola. He was probably 20, I guess. I was probably about 25 at the time, something like that, 26, 27. And he said, Mr. Stokin, called me Mr. Stokin. And I got a letter from him, you know, thanking me for Adidas shoes and everything. He said, Mr. Stokin, I love you. You've been great to me. You're a great guy. I love you. And I love the Adidas product. If you can get close on the shoe deal, the apparel deal, the car, the annuity, the poster program. Remember, Kostakis Brothers had these cool posters Nike used to do. He said, if you can just get close, I want to sign with you and Adidas. So I write up this three-page integrated marketing campaign, send it to Herzogenaurach, West Germany, because the wall was still up, and Adidas was headquartered in West Germany. And in the United States, it was just distributorships. So So there was Libco in the Northeast. There was Klosco in the West Coast, Vanco, who I worked for in the Southeast and Midwest, and USCO in the Southwest. And so they really were just distributing. They were selling the shoes. They really weren't doing a great job marketing, and they didn't have a lot of control. The control was still in Germany. And so the Germans got back and said, we don't have that kind of money to put in the U.S. market. Well, it was $2.5 million. And at the time, in 1984, $2.5 million was a lot of money. And if you also read Phil Knight's book, Shoe Dogs, and it was known that Nike was struggling at that time in 1984. They were in the red. They were hurting. And anyway, we don't sign them. Nike signs Michael. And Michael sells $126 million of Air Jordan product his rookie year in Chicago. Now, that alone would have made him the third largest company behind Adidas and Converse at the time. They went on to go in the black with that $126 million. And as Paul Harvey says, that's the rest of the story. Nike now is, well, Air Jordan alone is a $3 billion brand.
Gary Stokin with us.
Nike is the number one company.
You're right, president of the Peach Bowl. We'll talk about what you're doing statewide to help the battle against COVID-19 in just a couple of seconds as well. But I go back to what David Falk said during the Last Dance. Nobody saw that coming the first year around. It was a calculated risk for everybody out there, including Nike. I guess they were about to go under, if you believe what you're hearing, so they had nothing to lose.
Yeah, Nike was struggling, and David Falk was really the key for Michael because David had come from ProServe, and ProServe, you know, really did a good job with Stan Smith, with Adidas, with Arthur Ashe and some tennis players because they were individual sports. There was no team sport guy that was getting the kind of attention that Michael ultimately got and guys get now. But David wanted him to be on his own with a shoe company that he could direct the shoe company what to do, that the shoe company needed him so badly. And so anyway, they sign him, and a couple years later, Michael does his golf tournament down in the Bahamas. And I take my daughters and my wife down to the Bahamas after the bowl game, and we're walking through the Atlantis to go to dinner. And my daughter says, she's probably 10 years old, she says, there's Michael Jordan over there. And so over by the shops, and the cigar shop was over there through the casino. We walk over, and Michael says, gee, come here. He sees me, he calls me over, puts me in a headlock, and in front of my daughters and my wife, Charles Barkley, Charles Oakley, and Ahmad Rashad, who were there for his golf tournament, were standing there smoking cigars with him. He told the story I just told you, but he said, yeah, Gary didn't think I could play, and that's why he didn't sign me to an Adidas contract.
That's the thanks you get.
A dagger right in my heart.
Yeah. So just a couple of quick things. The Converse story is they had Magic and Larry and Bernard King, and they were never really going to elevate Michael. He was just going to be one of the guys. Do you believe that to be true? That's the problem with Converse. You're out.
Yes, because after I left Adidas in 87, I went to Converse to become national basketball director. And I had Larry and Magic and Isaiah and Mikhail, and I had signed Karl Malone. So we had, you know, a bunch of guys, Isaiah Thomas and all those guys. And I could tell you another story about Magic and Larry, which is cool. But anyway, I got a bunch of stories from the shoe wars. But yeah, Converse had too many guys. And again, going back to the philosophy of David Falk, he wanted Michael to be on his own with a company that was the guy. They were going to put all their marketing and exposure into Michael. Converse couldn't do that. Adidas probably couldn't have done it. We probably, because we were a manufacturing firm at the time, we owned our factories where Nike would run in Vietnam or Indonesia or China or, you know, Vietnam on one line, and Pony would be on the next line, and Reebok would be on the next line. So their margins were a lot greater.
Well, here's the other thing.
We would have sold $50 million, but the key is we'd have had Michael Jordan, and we probably would have put Nike out of business.
Well,
if we signed Michael Jordan,
right,
Nike may not have stayed in business.
Right. There's one less in terms of the competitive landscape. But here's my question for you, and I've never asked you this all these years later. Do you think Adidas would have actually done what we know now as the Air Jordan brand, not just the sneakers, but going into the commercials and going into the athletic wear and going into all the other things? Would Adidas have realized, Would there have been enough shoe sales that first year to go full bore the way that Nike eventually did?
Yes, because financially we were much more healthier. We were a global brand, and my idea was in the 1984 Olympics, Russia had boycotted. The United States with Coach Knight, who I had under Adidas contract, and put the red Adidas sweater on Coach Knight that he always wore. They were going to win the gold medal, and our shoe was called the Forum. The Olympics in 84 were in L.A. We were going to have Michael Jordan come out with the gold medal right after the Olympics because Adidas was an international brand. They were a sponsor of the Olympic Games. Mike would have walked out in the Forum in these new Forum Jordan shoes, and, the rest would have been history. Now, the next year, so all the Adidas guys the next year globally, so they're saying, well, we got to get back at Nike. We got to do something. So what do they do? They say, we're going to sign Nike's big guy. We're going to go sign Patrick Ewing, who was with Georgetown, and John Thompson was on the Nike board and, a big Nike guy. And I said, guys, I played basketball. I didn't want to be Wilt Chamberlain. I wanted to be Pete Maravich. Kids want to be guys that dribble through their legs behind their back. They fly through the air. They dunk, whatever. They don't want to be a center because centers block shots and rebound and dunk the ball because it's easy to dunk. But that's what the global Adidas guys wanted to do. And so we signed Patrick Ewing, who I worked with. And Patrick's a great guy, first-class guy. Loved him. But Patrick didn't sell shoes because he was a center. And centers don't sell shoes.
Gary Stokin, president of the Peach Bowl, is with us. So you teased it. Now we got to hear the Magic Bird shoe story.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Magic. When I take the job, my predecessor who hired me, we had flown to D.C., met with David Robinson's agent at Advantage to sign David Robinson coming out of the Naval Academy. I fly to Dallas the next day because I'm going to go sign Karl Malone to Adidas contract, and my boss, Al Harden, flies back to Boston, where Converse was headquartered. So I asked him, I says, how did you sign Magic and Bird? And he said, well, Magic, I knew some guys in Detroit that, were close to Magic, and we got him. And then Bird said, hey, I'll sign I'll sign with Converse, but I'll sign for, one more dollar than that Magic Johnson. And so Al was in an accident that next day when I flew to Dallas, and never made it back to work. And so I take over Al's job as well as national basketball director. Well, Magic comes to L.A. that season, and he says, my Achilles are bothering me. So I take him down to the shoe doctor because everybody's got a shoe cobbler in the shoe business, and they make molds of the pro guys' feet, and they make their shoes special for them. And so I take Magic down there. He makes some new shoes. Magic goes out. I think they beat Boston. They flew to Detroit. They beat Detroit. They fly back to L.A. And I call Magic, and he says, yeah, my Achilles is still bothering me. So I knew something was up. I flew out to L.A., and Lon Rosen, who's vice president of the Dodgers now, was Magic's agent. And I sat in his Beverly Hills house, and Magic sat one seat, I sat in the other, and Lon Rosen sat in the other. And I said, okay, what's going on? And Magic says, well, I want you to rip up my contract. I want a Michael Jordan type deal.
Yeah, he's okie-doked, by the way. I smell this one coming 1,000 miles away.
My Achilles will feel much better with a few extra dollars in my bank account.
Exactly. I said, there's no way I can do that, because if I do that, I got to rip up Larry's. I got to rip up Isaiah's, McHale's, Aguirre's, et cetera. I can't do that. I said, so what's the problem? Well, evidently, the kid shoe, remember the weapon was the Bird Magic shoe that they did the big promotion with? The kid shoe was called Revolver. And I wasn't in Converse at the time when they signed Magic and Bird. I was at Adidas. But he said they never gave me any royalties on the kid shoe. And I said, well, that's fine. I can take care of that. I'll go back. I'll change the contract to any future royalties on Revolver, the kid shoe, you and Larry get. And I said, and I'll also go back and pay you any back royalties as well. So I go back, do the deal with the attorney, change the contract for Magic. And so I got to do the same thing for Larry because he was part of that same promotion. So I go back in Al's office and I get the Bird contract and I get the Magic contract. I go to our attorney and I say, hey, we got to change this. We got to put an addendum to the contract, give him any future Revolver royalties and any back royalties. And so I look and there's Magic's contract. And, I got him upstairs in my office here in my house. But I look at it and there's Magic's contract and I put Bird's contract next to it. And Bird made one more dollar than Magic Johnson. And I had to laugh because that's how competitive back then Bird and Magic were. That Bird would sign with Converse, but he'd sign for one more dollar than Magic. And that's the deal.
All right.
That's how they got him.
Let's finish up with this. I don't know what your relationship is with Phil Knight, but it's a fascinating story from going, if you saw the Prefontaine story and the beginning of Nike shoes, is Phil Knight, I don't want to say he wasn't lucky. You can't be this big and get lucky. But the idea that Michael Jordan comes along at that time, was that as fortuitous as a business decision that anyone that you know of has ever had in the world of sports?
Luckiest thing ever to happen to anybody in business.
Well, we're going
to
go with lucky. Okay.
Because if he doesn't, then I'm not sure that Nike gets the bank money that they need to fund, his and read his book. It's a great book. But if he doesn't get that, there's no way that Nike, I think, stays in business. And there's certainly no way that Nike's the leader in the industry.
The
that
funniest,
they are now.
The funniest picture.
And I give Phil Knight all the credit in the world. I left Adidas and went to Converse to be national basketball director. And Mike Krzyzewski, who I had signed in 1980, in 1987, when I left, he comes to me and he says, Gary, read this contract. Nike wants to sign me. And I read the contract and I said, there's stock in there. It's $1 million, this and that. I said, Mike, you have to sign this contract. And I loved Mike Krzyzewski and we were good friends. And at the time I was an Adidas guy at the time and, I just left and went to Converse. So we all didn't like Nike because they were doing some crazy things at that time. But, Phil Knight, he went and got Krzyzewski, he got Michael Jordan, but I had them. I had the greatest college football player in 150 years, Herschel Walker, signed to Adidas. I had the greatest basketball coach ever in Mike Krzyzewski, signed to Adidas. And I had Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player ever to play basketball, ready to sign with Adidas, and Adidas blew it.
Yeah. Well, you know what that is?
Krzyzewski, they blew it on Jordan. And they didn't really do a great job with Herschel Walker either. But anyway,
that's the tale.
I had all three of them.
Yeah, that's the tale of a guy who goes fishing, and everybody can see how big a fish it is. It's amazing. It's an incredible. You can't get it in the boat. If it's not in the boat, it didn't really happen. You know that better than anybody. The funniest picture in The Last Dance is the banner that looks like it wasn't even done at Kinko's. As we said, it looked like it was printed somewhere in a back office with one of them dot matrix printers that said, the Nike family welcomes the Jordan family. And it's the funniest looking, cheapest looking thing ever. And then when you realize how many billions of dollars are actually standing below that piece of paper that looks like it was made in kindergarten class, that's actually the picture they had up there.
Well, what's even more amazing, if you look at the deal, what they were asking Michael Jordan to do to keep him after 3 years was, there's no way he reaches that. There's no way. If you look at the three major points, he had to be like an NBA All-Star. I'm going to get him wrong, but NBA All-Star, he had to be the Rookie of the Year. He had to do this and that. I mean, it was incredible what they were asking him to do, and he blew by all of them. I mean, that's what's amazing. But, I remember that when I went to Converse, and you know how everybody used to do All-Star games. So Larry Bird did an All-Star game in Indiana at the Pacers facility. And I'm sitting in half court and in the first row because we had sponsored the Larry Bird's game. And Michael was playing in the game and Magic and everybody. Well, someone's down shooting a free throw line at the other end, and Michael comes up to half court right on the sideline there, right where I'm sitting. And you know how he tug on his shorts? He's tugging on his shorts, bending over, and he looks at his shoes, and he looks at me, and he looks back at his shoes. He says, Gary, with a big smile on his face, like he has a great smile, he says, Gary, just think what might have been.
Nothing like pouring salt in an open wound. Michael's really good at that, isn't he?
I'm going to go get in a car in my garage, and I'm going to start it up and rev it as hard as I can.
But well, if you see Michael and the way he would, you know, get people fired up, I mean, that's what he does. He rips you and jags you, and, you know, just like he told the story at the Bahamas, those guys, and just how he looked at me at Bird's All-Star game. Well, I mean, that's Michael.
Here we all are. Gary Stokin, president of the Peach Bowl. You're doing some great things along with the Peach Bowl to raise some money to battle COVID-19. You want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah, we talked to Governor Kemp and said, hey, what can we do to get back to help everybody in the state of Georgia? And he said, gosh, if you can get involved in testing with this Augusta University Health Express Care Health app, where people could go on to the app, they can log on, they'll have a doctor face-to-face with them. They can talk through their symptoms, and he can tell them whether they need to go get tested and where they can go get tested. Then they could go from there to the test site, which is run by the National Guard that the governor has aligned, and get their test done. And as you know, testing now is the big deal. We've got to do a few things here. We've got to continue to mitigate this thing. We've got to test, and then we've got to find a vaccine. And so the governor asked us to do that. We spent almost $1.1 million to support the Augusta University Express Care app, and he was very appreciative, and we were glad to do it because I think it could save some Georgia lives. So that's our mission, to get back. We were just happy to do it for the governor and support the state of Georgia with what we're all going through in this fight. We're in this together, and we're going to come through it together. So and hopefully, God willing, we've got college football where we'll have three kickoff games in a week, you know, in September. Hopefully we can all get healthy and to a point we're all comfortable with that.
Well, fingers are crossed. Gary, thanks for what you're doing along with the Peach Bowl, and thanks for coming on and telling some great stories.
Oh, yeah. Always glad to be with you guys. You guys do a great job. Thanks for your partnership with us, too.
Appreciate
it. Thank you so much. Gary Stokin, president of the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, with us on the Truist Newsmaker line.